بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. So today it is the 30th lesson, lesson number 30 in this series on the book Al-Ubudiyya of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. In the previous lesson and the lesson before that, Shaykh al-Islam started looking at some of the qualities or some of the signs that a person truly loves Allah Azza wa Jal and he is enslaved to Allah Azza wa Jal rather than to other things. And we mentioned before that there's many things that a person can become enslaved to, to his desires, to his lusts, to pursuing wealth, to pursuing status, pursuing power, authority, be attached to luxury, to wealth, to material things. All of these things, what they do is that they create a competition in the heart between attachment to these things and attachment to Allah Azza wa Jal and enslavement to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so obviously a servant of Allah is put to trial and he's pushed and pulled and tugged in different directions, and in terms of his servitude. And so from that point onwards, Ibn Taymiyyah started discussing some of the qualities and some of the traits by which a person knows that he is in servitude to Allah if he maintains those qualities or those traits or those characteristics. And so he started mentioning some of the texts from the Quran and from the Sunnah. And we looked at some of those texts which mention the perfection of Iman and the strong handhold of Iman, loving for the sake of Allah, hating for the sake of Allah, being loyal for the sake of Allah, disloyal for the sake of Allah, and what is the strongest handhold of Iman, and how does a person taste the sweetness of Iman? What are the three qualities? We mentioned that hadith as well. Loving Allah and His Messenger more than anything else. Loving a man for no other reason except for the sake of Allah. And hating to revert to disbelief just as much as one hates to enter into, to be thrown into the hellfire. And he mentioned an important principle or a sentence that we should remember from the previous lesson, when he said, فَإِنَّ مَحَبَّةَ مَحْبُوبِ الْمَحْبُوبِ مِنْ تَمَامِ مَحَبَّةِ الْمَحْبُوبِ. So he said that to love the thing that the one that you love loves is itself from the perfection of loving the one that you love. I know it's a bit of a, complicated in English, but in Arabic it's a lot simpler. So if you love someone, then from the perfection of your love of that person is to love what they love, right? So that principle applies here as it relates to loving Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah Azza wa Jal loves His Prophet and His Messengers. He loves Iman, He loves Taqwa, He loves righteous deeds, and He hates disbelief and sin and disobedience and so on. So your love has to follow from the love of the one that you are claiming to love. And that's how you know that you are within the lines, within the boundaries of being a servant of Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? So these texts that Ibn Taymiyyah is mentioning here, all of these texts are basically giving us a general idea of those traits and those qualities that you must possess and that you must develop in order to be within his servitude and not to be enslaved or attached to other things besides him, whatever that might be. So we're going to continue looking at more texts. Ibn Taymiyyah brings more texts from the Quran, and we look at those inshallah ta'ala. So today we start lesson 30. That was just a recap from previous lessons. So Ibn Taymiyyah says, he mentions an ayah in the Quran, وَقَدْ قَالَ تَعَالَى فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. He mentions here another ayah in the Quran that mentions a number of traits and characteristics. Right, so this passage, this verse that he mentions here, the full verse is Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu man yartad minkum an dinihi fasawfa ya'ti Allahu biqawmin yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunah. So the verse reads, O you who believe, whoever amongst you abandons his religion, then soon shall Allah bring a people whom he loves and they love him. And then he goes on to mention some of the characteristics of such people. And so he says, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. So he mentions the traits, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, they are humble to the believers, عِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, that they are stern and severe against the kafirin. They strive in the path of Allah and they do not fear the blame of anyone. They do not fear the blame of anyone. So here there's four or five characteristics that have been mentioned. The first of them is obviously that they love him. Allah loves them and they love him. So they love Allah. And obviously the love of Allah itself is, it has characteristics that we've seen from other texts. What are the signs of that? What are the proofs of that? And then he said, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that they are gentle and soft, they're not arrogant and haughty, but they are being humble and gentle with the believers. This is how they are. And then he said, عِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, so they have strength and sternness, and they behave with them in different circumstances according to what the situation requires. So obviously the meaning of this verse is generally, it doesn't mean that you have a non-Muslim neighbor and so, you know, you're stern and, you know, severe against the, you know, because you're supposed to be good to your non-Muslim neighbor and, you know, treat him with... So this has a context, right? So in general, those who are the opposers, the enemies, the ones who hinder the da'wah to Allah, who wage war and whatever, then there's sternness shown towards such people, and they are hated for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, for their enmity and for their opposition, not opposition. And likewise, also from their traits, وَأَنَّهُمْ as occurs in the ayah, يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, so they strive with their wealth, with their souls, in order to please Allah Azza wa Jal, in order to raise His word. Right? It is to raise His word, and when He does this, obviously He's going to be subjected to dangers and, you know, tribulations and, you know, various types. And if he is willing to undergo those dangers and those tribulations, all of this is a sign that he, you know, he truly and genuinely loves Allah Azza wa Jal, because he's willing to go through that sacrifice and that harm and that tribulation. And this is a general measure. This is a general measure of love that we know from our own experience, that a measure of your love for someone or for something is to what extent and to what degree are you willing to undergo harm, to undergo trials, to undergo tribulations, to undergo abuse, to undergo... To that extent is a proof and a sign that you truly love that thing that you are pursuing, or that person that you claim to love. So in the same way, the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, it has proofs and signs and qualities and traits and characteristics. And from them here in this ayah is yujahiduna fi sabilillah, that they strive and struggle in raising the kalima of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they are willing to suffer harms and tribulations, just as we know from the stories and the biographies of the prophets and messengers alayhimu salatu wassalam. And then he says, fourthly, in the ayah, la yakhafuna lawmata la'im, they do not fear the blame of anyone. They do not fear the blame of the blamers, because they know that they are always going to have people who are going to attack them and find fault with them, and you know they're going to accuse them of being, as the Shaykh says here, وَيَسْتَخِفُ عُقُولَهُمْ, that consider them to be foolish and stupid, and you know, and say all of these things, like we know that's what used to be said about the prophets and messengers, that you are magicians, or you are sorcerers, that something has afflicted your minds, you are insane, right? We used to say these things. So these people being described in this verse, they are not affected by any of this. Right? They're not affected by people who stand around and point fingers and lay the blame and accuse them and revile them and slander them and try to belittle them and mock them in front of the people, that you are backward, you are primitive, you are this, you are that, whatever. Right? They're not affected by any of this. So these are some of the traits mentioned in this particular ayah. They are those whom Allah Azza wa Jal loves. They have these qualities. And then Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah goes on to mention another ayah in Surah Ali Imran, a well-known famous ayah, which again describes a sign of true love and servitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. And it is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, if you truly do love Allah, then follow me and Allah will love you. Surah Ali Imran 3 verse 31. So Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he comments upon this verse. He comments upon this verse, and he says this verse was revealed in the context of some people, some Yahud and Nasara from the Jews and Christians. They claimed that they love Allah Azza wa Jal. And you know, they also made the claim that the نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاؤُهُ, we are the sons of Allah, we are His beloved. They used to make this claim. So Allah Azza wa Jal put them to trial, He tested them, and He revealed this verse to the Messenger of Allah for him to say to those Yahud and Nasara, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Say, if you truly do love Allah, then follow me. Allah will then love you, because obviously they know that this man Muhammad is the one mentioned in their scriptures, in the Torah and in the Injil, and they read these descriptions, they know this is the messenger. So if you are claiming to love him, then it's simple, make ittiba, follow me, and Allah will then love you. So this verse was revealed in order to test those people. And this verse is known as the verse of the trial, Ayatul Imtihan. It is the verse of testing or tribulation. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He tested those people, those Yahud and Nasara. And this verse is applied to everybody who claims to love Allah Azza wa Jal, whilst he opposes the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his commands, in his prohibitions, and he's upon innovations. All of this indicates that this is basically a false claim. So basically we have different levels. This verse can be applied to three levels of people, right? So as we've seen, the context of revelation was to do with the Yahud and the Nasara, right? Those people who received a book previously. And we know that in the previous books, the prophets and messengers, they foretold and they mentioned the Messenger Muhammad. They mentioned his traits, they mentioned his qualities, they mentioned the location, they mentioned his followers and the qualities. So these people who were present, these Jews and Christians who were present in the Jazeera, in the peninsula, they knew this is the messenger that they are supposed to follow. And so their claim of loving Allah Azawajal is not complete except and until they believe and follow this messenger that they know. So their claim of loving Allah is false. Right? So that's one level, which is the people of the book. Then we enter into Islam. Now we enter into Islam. And so then amongst the people of Islam are those who claim to be following the Messenger of Allah, but they are opposing the creed, the aqidah that he came with, they're opposing his companions, they're opposing the methodology that he came with. And so we have all these different groups and sects, like the Khawarij, the Rafida, the Murji'a, you know, the Mu'tazila, the Asha'ira, and so on and so forth. And we have the groups and parties and so on and so forth, and they are opposing the Messenger of Allah. And they are making this claim to be following him, but they are opposing his command. And likewise, the people who worship Allah Azza wa Jal upon innovations, right, they're also in this category, because they are trying to worship Allah Azza wa Jal upon innovation, not upon what the Messenger came with. So they are claiming also to love Allah Azza wa Jal, love Allah, but they are not following the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So until they follow him, their claim is also void. And then thirdly, you've got the third level, and so here this would just be sin and disobedience, just the major sins and the minor sins, which are sin and disobedience. So you are upon the right way, you're upon the right methodology, you're upon the way of the Salaf, upon of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, but you're just a sinful person, right? You disobey the Messenger's commands and prohibitions when it comes to these types of things. So if you truly love Allah, then make ittiba', follow the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that following applies in all of these respects. In the issue of aqidah, tawheed, in the foundation of the religion, and then in the details of aqidah and methodology, and in the way that you worship him, and then also in terms of righteous deeds. So after mentioning this verse, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, فَإِنَّ الرَّسُولَ يَأْمُرُ بِمَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ وَيَنْهَى عَمَّا يُبْغِضُهُ اللَّهُ وَيَفْعَلُ مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَيُخْبِرُ بِمَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ التَّصْدِيقَ بِهِ. So he says, for indeed the Messenger commands whatever Allah loves, and he prohibits whatever Allah hates. And he, meaning the Messenger himself, does whatever Allah loves, and then he informs of whatever Allah loves that people should believe in it. Right? So there are four things here, right? That the Messenger, he commands and prohibits. He commands whatever Allah loves, he prohibits whatever Allah dislikes. He himself does what he was commanded, what Allah loves. And then he conveys and informs the people what Allah loves, that they should believe in it. Like, for example, believing in the reality of paradise and the hellfire and what happens in the grave and the day of resurrection, belief in the unseen, Allah loves, and his names and attributes, Allah loves that we believe in those things that he is informing us of. So basically there are four things. If you look at what Ibn Taymiyyah has mentioned here, that he summarized here the four qualities that comprise following the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or loving the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We'll come to that shortly. But first of all, what Sheikh Al-Fawzan adds here in the footnotes, in the commentary, he gives us, or he summarizes the signs of loving Allah Azza wa Jal. And he puts them down to three things, which is really a summary of what's already been said. So he says, the first one, Al-Alamatul Ula At-Tawheed والإخلاص التوحيد وإخلاص العبادة له. First sign is that you are upon tawheed, you single out Allah Azza wa Jal in worship. And so if you truly love Allah, you will not commit shirk, you will not worship others, you will not enslave yourself to others. And he mentions the verse in the Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. Amongst mankind are those who take as deities, as rivals for Allah, those which are besides him, and they love them as they should love Allah. Right? So this is an error, this is a mistake. They are loving other things in the same way that Allah should be loved. So this obviously applies to the Yahud and the Nasara and the factions of the Mushrikeen and things like that. Right? So the first sign is that you must be upon Tawheed. So anyone who makes a claim to loving Allah and he's not upon Tawheed, this is a false claim. The second level, or the second sign, is to make ittiba', to follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third sign is that he puts what Allah and his Messenger love over and above what he himself loves. What he himself loves. Right? Which means to tame one's desires, to control one's desires, to subdue one's desires in obedience to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? To put obedience to the Messenger over one's own lusts and desires and likes and preferences and so on and so forth. So these three things are signs of the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we know from the fruits of that is يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, that Allah will then love you and He will forgive you your sins. Right? So from the fruits and the benefits of doing what we've just mentioned is that Allah will in turn love you and will also forgive you your sins. So coming back to what Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned about the Messenger, and where he mentioned those four things. So the four things were that the Messenger he commands, what Allah loves, he prohibits what Allah is displeased with, he himself acts upon what Allah loves, so the Messenger acts upon what Allah loves, and he informs and conveys what Allah loves that we should believe in terms of knowledge and information about Allah, His names, His attributes, the angels, the books, the messengers, the unseen affairs, the final day, paradise, hellfire, resurrection, all these things, that we believe in those things. So essentially what we've got here is, there are four aspects to believing in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are basically summarized here. So Sheikh Al-Fawzan says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ma'asum, right? He is infallible. He is infallible in terms of what he conveys from Allah azza wa jal. The messengers in general, the prophets in general, they don't bring anything from themselves. This is unlike what the philosophers and the atheists and those people say, because they claim that the prophets and messengers were just very clever, intelligent people. They were like politicians and philosophers put together. They knew how to control the people, right? They knew how to manipulate people to make them behave in the best way possible. And they just made up stories. They invented stories about, there's a paradise, there's a hellfire, there's a God and whatever, and you're going to be punished. And then they invented these stories to basically play with people's emotions. And but they did it for a lofty reason. They did it for a lofty reason. The lofty reason is that they wanted the people to lead a moral life, right? They want the people to lead a moral life, an upright life. So they told them these lies, like these are noble lies, and then they made them believe in these things. This is what the philosophers and the atheists, this is how they basically try to present the prophets and messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is false and baseless. So the prophets and messengers, they receive revelation, right? They don't invent anything from themselves, and they don't seek leadership. And in fact, you can see that, we're entering into the territory now where we look at, what are the signs of a genuine prophet? How do we know that the prophet is a true prophet? What are the signs of that? And what are the proofs of that? And we know that the Messenger of Allah, he didn't seek leadership. He was offered leadership. He was offered wealth. He was offered women. He was, you know, and all these things do not, they don't fit the qualities of a man who's after power and after leadership and is after, you know, manipulating people. It doesn't fit, right? So that's a whole different topic. But in short, what the Sheikh is saying here is the messengers are infallible. They do not make a mistake when they convey the revelation, number one. Number two, they do not have any personal selfish motivations and desires in terms of what they are conveying, right? And again, the proof of this in the Quran is very clear. We see that in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal has corrected the Messenger of Allah many times and has also reprimanded the Messenger of Allah numerous times, right? In the Quran, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى, that when the blind man came and he turned away, right? And he turned to the elites of the Quraysh. And then there's other examples as well. So why would someone who is just simply pretending and he's just after leadership and whatever, why would he include in this book that he is allegedly fabricating from himself, why would he include in this book things which are rebuking him and criticizing him for doing things which he did wrong, right? And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't make any sense. And then some of them say, oh, that it's just inspired by the devil. The shaitan has inspired him. But then why would he mention in the book, you know, seeking refuge from the shaitan and, you know, speaking about Iblis and things like that? It doesn't make any sense, right? So all of this is like a whole topic, as I said, separately, to show that the Quran is not from the Messenger of Allah. He's just simply a conveyor of the message. And he himself does not have any hawa, doesn't have any personal anything to gain from conveying this message or any motives. It is from Allah Azza wa Jal, and he is simply one who truthfully and sincerely he conveys the message. And so because of that, because of this reason, then it follows, these four things follow that we mentioned, what Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, right? That a sign of our love of Allah Azza wa Jal is that we follow what his messenger commanded, we keep away from what he prohibited, we obey, we make ittiba of the messenger in what he, his sunnah, what he did, and we believe him in whatever he informed us about the affairs of the unseen. So as Ibn Taymiyyah says, in as he continues, he says, فَمَنْ كَانَ مُحِبًّا لِلَّهِ لَزِمَ أَنْ يَتَّبِعَ الرَّسُولِ فَيُصَدِّقُهُ فِي مَا أَخْبَرْ وَيُطِيعُهُ فِي مَا أَمَرْ وَيَتَأَسَّى بِهِ فِي مَا فَعَلْ وَمَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا فَقَدْ فَعَلَ مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهِ فَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهِ. So he says, whoever loves Allah, it is binding that he follows the messenger. Now, how do you follow the messenger? You follow the messenger by, number one, believing in whatever he informed you. Because whatever he informed us is the truth. He never brought it from himself or invented it. And you obey him in whatever he commanded. And you take him as a model and as a guide by whatever he did. You take him as a model in his behavior. And whoever does this, then he has done what Allah loves. And then Allah will love him. Right? So if you do what Allah loves by following these things, then Allah will in turn love you. So that's the speech of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And then Shaykh al-Fawzan, he summarizes in the commentary, he mentions alamat Mahabbatir Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What are now some of the signs of loving the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So the first sign is فَيُصَدِّقُهُ فِيمَا أَخْبَرْ, that we believe in whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he informed us. Right? So whatever he told us of the affairs of the past that we can't see. So certain things happened in history, we've never seen them. The Messenger of Allah was informed them from Allah Azza wa Jal, and we believe in those things. And likewise in the future, al-mustaqbil, al-madi and the mustaqbil, whatever is in the future that he informed us of the signs of the hour, the signs of the hour. We believe in all of that. And we believe it is the truth, because he does not speak from his own desire, it is revelation. And anyone who starts casting doubt about the firmly established reports from the Messenger of Allah, the one who starts casting doubt about the foundation of these reports, then he is a disbeliever in Allah Azza wa Jal. The one who starts to undermine the Sunnah and the authentic reports, you know, which have come about paradise, hellfire, and all the various other things, and he's undermining these affairs, undermines these in principle. This, as the Shaykh says, فَإِنَّهُ كَافِرٌ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Such a person is a disbeliever in Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is in terms of believing what the Messenger of Allah Sallam informed us. That's the first sign. Second sign is to obey him in whatever he commanded, because he only commands with the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this includes command and prohibition, right? So under this comes that we do what he commanded, we keep away from what he prohibited. The third sign, وَيَتَأَسَّى بِهِ فِيمَا فَعَلْ, that we take him basically as a qudwa, as a model. We mimic his character, his behavior. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. There is indeed for you in the Messenger of Allah a beautiful example, a beautiful model of behavior. Right? So this is the third sign. And the fourth sign, the fourth sign he says here, أَلَّا يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَرَعَهُ الرَّسُولِ, that he does not worship Allah except by what the Messenger legislated. So this is now a fourth sign of the love of the Messenger, that we stick to his Sunnah, we worship in the way that he worshipped, we avoid the innovations, we avoid the newly invented affairs, he keeps away from those things in the way that he worshipped Allah Azza wa Jal. So these are then the signs that a person loves the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah Rahimahullah, he then continues and he says, فَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِأَهْلِ مَحَبَّتِهِ عَلَامَتَيْنِ اتِّبَاءُ الرَّسُولِ وَالْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. Then he goes on to say that Allah Azza wa Jal, for those people who love him, he has made two signs, right? So we're moving to another verse now, right? He's leading into another verse in the Quran that mentions, again, qualities of those who love Allah and are in servitude to Allah. The first of them is ittiba'ur rasul, which is following the Messenger, as we've already discussed. And the second is al-jihadu fi sabilih, which is striving and struggling in his path. And then he says, وذلك لأن الجهاد حقيقته الاجتهاد في حصول ما يحبه الله من الإيمان والعمل الصالح ومن دفع ما يبغضه الله من الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. So the meaning of that is, this is because, so as for making ittiba of the messenger, we've covered that already, right? So we've covered that. Then he says, and والجهاد في سبيله, which is to strive in his path. And this is because al-jihad, what is the reality of this striving? Its reality is that you strive and you struggle in attaining, in achieving what Allah loves of iman and righteous actions, and in repelling what he dislikes and hates of al-kufr, wal-fusuq, wal-isyan, which is disbelief and sinfulness and disobedience, right? So this is al-jihadu fi sabilih, right? It is something general and broad into which many different types come into. This is the general meaning of al-jihad, right? What is it? It means that you as a believer, you are striving with your soul, with your body, with your wealth, and you're striving to do what? To achieve iman and righteous actions, right? So achieving iman means obviously to learn, to acquire knowledge, right? So exactly what we are doing here, we've left our homes, we sat here, we are striving. This comes under this umbrella of al-jihadu fi sabilillah, right? So to acquire iman, and also to acquire righteous actions, to actually perform righteous actions, to do righteous actions. So this is one part. And the other part is then to repel. So one part is to acquire, and the other part is to repel. To repel al-kufr. And, you know, also included with that would be a shirk, a minor shirk, for example, that a believer can potentially fall into. And likewise, al-fisq, al-fusuq, which is sinfulness. And likewise, al-isyan, which is, you know, disobedience to Allah and His Messenger. So, all of this enters into what is jihad in a general, like, umbrella sense. And then Sheikh al-Fawzan, in the commentary, he says, under a title, Ma'na al-Jihad fi sabilillah, what is the meaning of jihad in Allah's path? And he then breaks it down, something that Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentions, that there's another way of looking at this as well, that al-jihad has different levels or categories, and it is al-jihadu, jihad is to expend effort, right? To expend one's effort to achieve what Allah loves, and it is of various types. The first one, al-awwal, jihadun nafs, jihadun nafs. So the first one is that you struggle against your own soul. You fight against your own soul. And that's because the soul has three different natures or three different types. The soul is the way that Allah Azawajal has created the soul. There are three types of, you know, attributes or types of soul. There's a soul that incites you towards goodness, right? So sometimes you have an impulse and there's things that come to your mind. Maybe I should give charity. Maybe I should go and help that, you know, neighbor of mine. Maybe I should do this, right? This is an incitement, you know, these things come to your soul, right? There's a soul that encourages you to, incites you to goodness. Then there's a soul that commands you with evil, right? Sometimes you have impulses appear in your mind and, you know, maybe to do something unlawful or to follow your desires or whatever. There's a soul that prompts you to start doing those things. And then there's also the soul, nafsul lawwama, the soul that, you know, which it's like your conscience, and you blame yourself and you question yourself, and it, you know, makes you, right? There's that aspect of the soul as well. So this is what the believer has. And at different times, you know, he is put to trial through the soul, and also because other people, like the shaitan and whatever. So the first thing, he fights and struggles against his own soul. That's the first level. These are in levels, right? So you start there. The second level is jihad of shaitan, which is the shaitan. And so that's a whole level in itself, against Iblis. And he has many, many different ways and means and mechanisms to trick and deceive you. And he has a specific strategy that he follows, you know, with every person. Lead you into disbelief and shirk first of all. If he can't, then he'll lead you into, you know, innovations and misguidance. And if he can't, he'll lead you into major sins. And if he can't lead you to major sins, he'll lead you to minor sins. And if he can't lead you to minor sins, he'll lead you into wasting your time with things which are, you know, basically just permissible things. You just waste your time with, away from worship, away from knowledge. So they're not unlawful, but you just waste your time on those things. And if he can't get you on that, then he'll make you choose an action which is of less reward, so you abandon an action which is of greater reward, right? So these are six levels that Iblis uses with people, right? And so you know, obviously there's more to it than this. He tricks people and deceives people in so many different ways. That's a whole topic in itself. So the second level after you make jihad against your soul is jihad against the shaitan. The third level is jihadul usat bil amri bil ma'roof wal nahi anil munkar. So now you are moving outside of yourself. So the first two are really to do with you, right? Because you've got to start with yourself. If you can't make jihad against yourself, then how are you going to do it with other people besides you? Right? So it starts with jihadun nafs, jihadul shaitan. And then the sinful people, you command them with good and you prohibit them from evil. So basically that means that you rectify the people around you, your family, the family that you know you have authority over, and you know society in general. So that's the third level. And the fourth level is jihadul munafiqeen biraddi shubuhatihim wa ibtali da'wahim. The fourth is to strive against the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, because they are in our midst. And the way that you do that is in a specific way, which is you refute their doubts, their shubuhat. Right? So for example, today in the modern era, we have many different categories of munafiqeen which are present, which are vocal. Amongst them are the so-called, you know, liberalists, these people who are calling for, you know, what they call liberation, kind of leftist ideologies and things like that. And they're trying to do it in the name of Islam. And they wear the gown and the garment of Islam. And you'll see them coming, you know, in all many different forms and shapes, you know, fighting for women's rights and for, you know, these rights and this, whatever. So basically we write this way. You do this is with the pen. With the hypocrites is with the pen. Because these people, they ascribe to Islam. And, you know, they have clear traits, which are clear traits of hypocrisy. But you can't go around going beyond the use of the pen, right? So that's the hypocrites. It's by refuting their doubts and misconceptions and so on and so forth. The fourth one is the jihadul kuffar, bisalah, which is the, you know, jihad of the kuffar by way of the physical means. And obviously this is a topic in itself as well. And in this topic we are balanced in the middle between, you know, the extremists on the one hand, like the Khawarij and the terrorists, and likewise on the other hand, the people who are the, you know, the pacifists and who deny, you know, this foundation of our religion. We are in the middle, we are balanced in the middle. And, you know, we follow the right methodology. So these are the levels of struggling and striving in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this leads into why did Shaykh al-Islam mention this here, this introduction? It's because he leads naturally into the ayah in the Quran, in which there is another trait and quality that proves that you are in ubudiyya to Allah Azza wa Jal and that you love Allah Azza wa Jal. And so here it is, right? So he leads into the verse, which is the following verse. Qul in kana aba'ukum. So he says, say, if your fathers wa abna'ukum and your offspring, wa ikhwanukum and your brethren, wa azwajukum and your spouses, wa ashiratukum and your relatives, to the end of the verse, like the Sheikh al-Fawzan mentions the whole verse. So he mentions the whole verse. And Ibn Taymiyyah says, فَتَوَعَدَ مَنْ كَانَ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِهِ بِهَذَا الْوَعِيدِ. So he threatened whoever found his family and his wealth and all these things are more beloved to him than Allah and his messenger, and striving in his path, then he gave them this threat, right? So let's go to Shaykh al-Fawzan's commentary to read the full verse, right? So the full verse Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. So basically there are 8 categories of things mentioned in this verse, which people, as people, we love them naturally. This is all natural love that we have for these things. And so in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal is basically making a threat and saying that if these things are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger and striving in His path, then just wait until Allah brings His command, His affair. Right? So, these things, what are they? First of all, loving your fathers. We have an intense love for our fathers and forefathers, and you know, we have this natural affinity. Wa abna'ukum. Obviously we have a natural love for our direct offspring, right? And their offspring. Wa ikhwanukum, and our brethren across that way, right? So you have above and below and across that way. Wa azwajukum, which are your spouses. And وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ, which are your relatives. And then the wealth that you have acquired. So whatever wealth that you have in your possession, obviously you love that wealth, you want to preserve it and protect it. Then the trade, then you have, so you have the wealth, and you also have the trade that you are engaged, the businesses that you have set up, and the means of livelihood that you have in operation. Obviously you love those things, you don't want to lose those things. So naturally you have an affinity, you love them. And likewise the homes, the houses, the properties that you love, that you are pleased with. If all of these things are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger and striving in His path, right? So this is the shahid in the ayah, which is to do with striving in His path. أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا. Right, so if all of these things are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger and striving in His path, then just wait until the affair of Allah comes. And Allah does not guide a sinful people. So as Shaykh al-Fawzan says, these 8 things are loved by people by way of the nature. It's like nature, it's from nature to love these things. So loving them is not blameworthy in itself. This doesn't mean that you're not allowed to love these things. Of course you are. You're allowed to love your fathers, your offspring, your brothers, your relatives, the wealth that you have, the trade that you're engaged in, the properties that you have. It's natural to love these things. But if you advance them, and if you become preoccupied with them, and if your heart becomes attached to them over and beyond until it starts, like we said before, competing with attachment to Allah Azza wa Jal, then this is where this now is, you know, you have fallen short in striving in Allah's path, and you have become captivated by the world. And so here there is a threat given for whoever falls into that. So this is the verse, the last verse that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions. Then he goes on to mention more texts from the ahadith. So what we'll do, inshallah ta'ala, we'll conclude our lesson there for today at this point. And we'll continue in the next lesson. He goes on to mention some more texts on the same topic. Inshallah, we'll conclude with that in the next lesson. So in summary, basically what we've done today then is really a continuation from the previous lesson. We've looked at verses from the Quran. We've looked at texts from the Sunnah. All of those texts are just a sample. There are many, many more. There are many other texts. But this sample gives us an idea of those qualities, those characteristics that we have to develop in order to make sure that we are within the boundaries of being enslaved to Allah Azza wa Jal, and not enslaved to other things, you know, besides Him. So if we develop those traits, then that is a sign of our love for Allah Azza wa Jal, and the fact that, you know, our ubudiyyah is is for Allah Azawajal and not for other things besides them, and the less you are going to be put to trial by, you know, being in servitude to other things besides Allah Azawajal. So we'll conclude on that note, inshallah. We'll continue the lesson next week. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.